Today on Real Radio.
Abigail walked in obedience to the Lord, and she was blessed. David was the man, in my opinion, who was in between. It could have gone either way for David. Nabal was a fool. Abigail was godly. Which way was David going to go?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. We're in a series within a series called How to Handle a Fool. It's taken from 1 Samuel chapter 25. Here we're told of Nabal and Abigail, a married couple. One is foolish and one is wise. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now continuing his mini-series called How to Handle a Fool.
People who have no experience with God, but they've lived a, quote, Christian for a long time, they tell you why you can't do that verse. Oh, you can't do that verse. Well, how come? Because I've never done it. Can't be done. Anybody read that book, Who Moved My Cheese? Get the book. You can't do that. Why? Hasn't been done. So let's do it. You can't do it. It has not been done, I'm telling you. So let's do it. You can't do it. Why? It has not been done. New believers don't know anything about that. And then an old seasoned saint that's been beat up and gone through the ringer, and the Lord's been with them the whole time, and they've seen God do great things, they just say, well, you know what? Look, the new believer wants to go do it. I've seen God do anything and everything. Let's go. The seasoned saint says, you know what? I've seen God do things I never dreamed of. And let's go, because if God's going to do something, this is what the old seasoned saint says, if God's going to do something, I'd rather be dead than miss it. And so the old guy in the faith gets up and goes with the new believer, and they both turn the world upside down, or right side up. Try it. It's the only way to live. Luke 23:34 says, Jesus spoke unto him and said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Abigail intercedes like Jesus does. It's pretty amazing. Acts 7:59, and they stoned Stephen, and as he was calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then Stephen knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, and he said, Lord, fry these unbelievers for their con... No, he says, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. James 5:20. Let him know, that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. Listen to Abigail's life. It's so New Testament. 1 Peter 4:8. And above all things, have fervent love one for another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. The character qualities of Abigail are so Christ-like. Verse 23, she acted with urgency when needed. Verse 24, she acted in humility. Verse 25, she acted in mercy. Verse 26, she acted in counsel. Verse 27, she acted with gratitude. Verse 28, she acted with respect. Verse 29, she acted with vision. Verse 30, she acted in faith. Verse 31, she acted in grace. She acted the way that Nabal should have acted when David came out, and he didn't. Why? She had a character that was developed because of her faith. Her faith was lived out. Well, you know what? Same was true about Nabal. Nabal had a character, and he lived it out too. His character was wood, hay, and stubble at best. One old-time author said, we need to find an Abigail and marry her like David did. Marry yourself to her character quality. Marry yourself to Christ, he said. Draw near, fellowship, be with people who provoke this kind of action in our lives. Point number 6, how to handle a fool. We learn this, verses 32 to 38, that God is in control, even over the fool. Look to God to intervene. Look to him to intervene. It says in verse 32, then David said to Abigail, this is a tremendous turn of events, Blessed is the Lord God of Israel who sent you this day to meet me. God's intervention. God intervenes. Now watch, pause right there. Church, listen, God intervenes every day in our lives. He does it every day. We just don't notice it every day. We don't recognize it every day, but he does it every day. David is like this. He's on his horse. He is stark raving crazy to go and kill a Nabal. He's flying down the path. He's got his men with him. He's got his sword drawn or his sling getting ready to go. And he is going to kill. God intervenes. He could have knocked David off of his horse. He didn't. God could have spooked the horse. He didn't. Could have sent an angel. He didn't. He sends Abigail to teach us about her character quality, and also that when a woman or a man acts like Abigail does, it can change the course of history. And history's been changed by very apparent, minuscule things, things that really don't seem to matter. Here comes this woman. She's got her offerings. She's got her message to tell David. She's married to a fool. Stop, ladies, right there, think. She could have thought, you know what, David is a warrior. He has really been out of shape. Finally, he's going to kill my husband. Get rid of that bonehead so I can live my life. Now, I know no woman in this church would think like that, but she could have thought like that. That's one way to get, you could have a message, you know, how to get rid of a fool. How to get rid of a fool? Don't intercede for him. But you're not doing the heart of God. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know who I live with. God does. It's tough, huh? It's heartbreaking situations. I only wish that Abigail could have written a book, you know. Can you imagine what she could have said about the fool she lived with? For whatever reason, God saw fit not to have her put that into print. God's in control. Do you believe him? God will intervene. Do we see him? So she comes. David is touched. Blessed be God. God's intervention. Not only that, look at this. Verses 33 to 35. Know that God's in control. Look for him to give counsel. Are you upset with somebody? Justifiably. You are justifiably upset. A fool has come against you. Look to God to give you counsel. Don't act in the emotion. If you act in the emotion, you're going to enter into their sin. We're going to become just like them. Verse 33, and blessed is your advice, and blessed are you, because you have kept me this day from coming to the bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand. Do you hear that, people? God can defend David. It's best that way. David remembers, it's best that I do not defend myself. I'll let God do it. Verse 34, for indeed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has kept me back from hurting you, unless you had hastened to come out to meet me, surely by morning light, no males would have been left to Nabal. So David received from her hand what she had brought him, and she said to her, or he said to her, excuse me, go up in peace to your house. Behold, I have heeded your voice and respected your person. David's coming back to himself, the self that we love about him. God will bring counsel if we'll just wait. I don't need to elaborate on this, church. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. David was not being still, and so he did not receive or understand what God was desiring. He wasn't in the mood to hear it. God intervenes with Abigail, brings another believer into the path. Counsel is given. It's godly and biblical and Christ-like. David receives it and is changed. Who is spared? Honestly, think, who's spared? That's right. David is spared. You want to know why? Nabal, he has sown his seeds and he'll be reaping soon. That's going to happen. Nabal has nothing to do with God. Who was spared? David was spared. Look at verse 36 to 38. Look for God for vengeance. Now I have to be, look for God for vengeance. That doesn't mean God, get him. Oh God, you know, I'm not going to be happy, God, until you just fry him. That's not what I'm talking about. But you can leave it, I should say. Look for God for vengeance. Leave it in his hands. Leave it up to God. Verse 36, now Abigail went to Nabal, and there he was. Kind of makes it sound like he's like sitting at the bar. There he was, holding a feast in his house. Can you see this? He's got a big drumstick. He's got meat and gravy all over his face. He's a big, loud mouth, rich, arrogant, disgusting man. That's who he is. He's holding a feast in his house like the feast of a king, and Nabal's heart was merry within him. He was drunk. For he was very drunk. Therefore, she told him nothing, little or much, until morning light. So it was in the morning, when the wine had gone from Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him. He had a heart attack or a stroke, and he became like a stone. Then it came about after 10 days, that the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. Wow. You know, the Bible says that the fool looks around at all of his wealth and he says, I have so much, my barns are full. I've got so much money. My barns are full of grain. I don't need anything. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger barns so I can have more. Hoarding it up. And Jesus says in that scripture, what a fool. He did not realize nor consider that night his soul I would require of him. And the Bible says that God took Nabal's life. He had everything. His heart was merry. He's got all of his friends. He's got everything the world can offer. But he's void of God. How sad. How tragic. How fitting that this night, his soul, he would have to give an answer for it. Final point tonight, verses 39 to 44, know that God rewards obedience. As much as God delivers vengeance upon the fool, God rewards the righteous or the faithful with obedience when they act in following him. That foolishness pays its wages. That's one thing. Regarding obedience, we don't want to be like the fool. Why? Because foolishness pays its wages. It always will. It always does. Verse 39, so when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal and has kept his servant from evil. For the Lord has returned the wickedness of Nabal on his own head. A fool will reap. Vengeance is mine, the Lord says. I will repay. I'm going to bring the wages of someone's foolishness against them. Be not deceived. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. And look at the end of verse 39. And David sent and proposed to Abigail to take her as his wife. He didn't wait around at all. This chapter said earlier when it opened up that she was beautiful to look at and beautiful of spirit. She was something. You got to wonder, you know, David's got a sword drawn. Come on. Let's go kill Nabal. And their horses are going, then this girl comes out, and you got to, David, whoa. She's cute, but you know what? I got to go. She's really a beauty, but I got to go kill this guy, whoever that. And then she starts talking, and then she talks wisdom and vision and the word of God. She's speaking. You got to wonder what David's thinking. Man, she's a cutie, and she's full of the Lord. And so he takes her to be his wife. Obedience brings blessing, verses 40 to 42. And when the servants of David had come to Abigail at Carmel, they spoke to her saying, David has sent us to you to ask you to become his wife. Then she arose and bowed her face to the earth and said, here is your maidservant, a servant to wash the feet of the servants of the Lord. Servants of the Lord. You guys, that's great. You know, I want to extend to you the traditional Oriental custom and courtesy that's due any messenger that comes to my house. She didn't say, is that a fact? He wants to marry me. I'm going to be married to the king. All right, boys, get my armoire, get my apparel. Let's go. You know, chop, chop. I'm going to be married to the king. You do exactly as I say. She washes their feet. Verse 42, so Abigail rose in haste and rode on a donkey and attended by five of her handmaidens, and she followed the messengers of David and became his wife. And this is a great thing about the obedience, how God blesses obedience. Now remember this, and you all know this, that God will never become indebted to any person ever. God does not allow himself to do that. He will never allow himself to be indebted to any person ever. He won't do it. But if God were to ever desire to do that, it would be to the person who's obedient. Church, for all of us, God blesses obedience. He's allowed himself to be bound to bless obedience. That's why the Bible says, do not become weary at doing well. Don't become weary at doing good. Stay at it. God will bless you. He will do it. That's something that will not go unnoticed by God. He'll do it. And then finally, there's this parenthetical insert that it's called. And that is verses 43 to 44. It says, David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and so both of them were his wives. But Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Paltiel, the son of Laish, who was from Galim. Now listen. You would say, wait, that doesn't sound very obedient. He's taken all these wives. You know, what's the deal? That's kind of strange. Verse 44, David already had Ahinoam of Jezreel as his wife because she was childless. So listen, Abigail also became his wife. This is what this verse is talking about. She too was childless, Abigail was. And then it says how, verse 44, that Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to another man from Laish. What is happening here? You know, how does this chapter end? This is a parenthetical insert. It's announcing this. Polygamy is forbidden by God. It has been that way from the beginning. It was forbidden by God in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24 onward. Except in the cases, according to Deuteronomy, listen, and this is what's happening here, except in the cases of a childless first marriage. It was so important to God, for example, that a name be carried on in Old Testament time. That if, for example, and this sounds so insane to us, we don't understand not only the culture of the day, but God's desire to carry on a man's name, a lineage. That if her husband died and she did not have a son, she could have had 25 daughters, for that matter. But if she did not have a son, then the next of kin would marry her to bring about a son to carry on his name in honor. To us, it's like, that's weird. We don't get it. But to the genealogy that God would use and establish to eventually bring the lineage of Christ himself, that was absolutely essential. Again, the book of Deuteronomy forbids polygamy, except in the case where there's no son born in a marriage. And there the scripture talks about a childless woman who's left behind. Now this we know. Michal, that was Saul's daughter, remember? If he was victorious, remember in the battles? Saul the king would give David his daughter as wife. But she didn't have any kids. She has no sons by this time. Ahinoam was also David's wife. She had no sons yet. Abigail is left childless. She has no son. David takes her as his wife. She has no boys. And so from David, boys will come. Interesting, though, as time goes on, we will find out that Ahinoam will be the one who gives birth to David's son first. Or will be the first one, I should say, in his lineage, in his, can I use the word harem? It's the wrong, it gives the wrong connotations, but at this point, David's not just, oh, there's a pretty girl, I'm going to marry her. All of these women that are mentioned thus far in Scripture that become David's wife, not one of them have a child. And so, listen, that's Old Testament. Don't you guys any get crazy ideas? But the study of the lineage of God culminates, of course, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where four lineages are given there, four of them. Matthew gives the lineage of his kingship. Mark gives the lineage of the fact from humanity, Jesus is a slave, a servant. Did you know that? Matthew presents Jesus as king. Mark presents Jesus as servant. Luke has a lineage, right? And his lineage is linked to being the Son of Man. Luke mentions Jesus as the Son of Man over and over again. And then you come to John's gospel. Jesus and Matthew's represented as the king, Mark as the servant, Luke as the Son of Man. And then you get to John's gospel, and you say, well, where's the lineage in John's gospel? It's in chapter 1. And it tells you that Jesus' lineage is actually deity himself, that he's God draped in human flesh that visits earth. Matthew and Luke trace this lineage all the way back to you and I as Gentiles. We look at it and say, what's with this? But when Jews start to read the scriptures and come into the New Testament and read it, they get so excited to find out that if they trace it, that Jesus is in fact their rightful Messiah, heir to the throne. And just think, as the days approach, how God will use that more and more in the life of the Jewish people. How to handle a fool. We conclude with this. You love them God's way. Not my way or your way, God's way. Abigail knew who he was and knew what he was. She didn't leave him. She didn't poison him. She actually interceded for him. And she left the vengeance and the judgment to God. Abigail walked in obedience to the Lord, and she was blessed. David was the man, in my opinion, who was in between. It could have gone either way for David. Nabal was a fool. Abigail was godly. Which way was David going to go? And God sent one to intervene, even in his life.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called How to Handle a Fool. It's actually a mini-series taken from 1 Samuel chapter 25 and part of Pastor Jack's fascinating verse-by-verse look at this Old Testament historical narrative. And we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Well, you've heard us tell you about Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Of course, that's our Monday evening television program. Well, reallifewithjackhibbs.org is our website. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can watch, listen, search, browse by category. Check out all that's available in our store. It's all right there. There are tabs and buttons that take you to archived Real Radio broadcasts, Real Life Devotions with Jack Hibbs, which, by the way, you can subscribe to and get in your email box. We've got resources that'll help you grow as a believer and a whole lot more. So check out reallifewithjackhibbs.org when you get a chance. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And of course, if you're on the go and you want even more convenience, download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. It's free. Just go to your app store and look for Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
We'll see you next time.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.